Okay. Yeah, not much has changed. Even
in the yeshivas that we went to, like
the disconnect.
You could get kicked out of shiur.
So. Right. There was less of a disconnect in terms of what the rebbes were saying.
And
the,
like girls are in gangs and stuff. Like I couldn't understand how the rest of yeshiva can walk by. You could get kicked out if you're talking to a girl.
Right. Not the crowning achievement of our yeshiva either.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
It's in the pamphlet.
Yeah. So I want to move back to the sugya bab machteres. Last week we talked a little bit about Ovid Inishtina Lenafshe, which was I always look at it as the little brother of bab machteres. Bab machteres is when things reach a climax of violence. Whereas Ovid Inishtina Lenafshe is probably the average case where person sees someone stealing from him, and he gets somewhat physical in an attempt to get back his property. Rabbi Cooper forwarded me an email, a piece of news about a guy in New Hampshire. I think today he was arrested. There was a guy robbing him. He took out a gun. The guy had, it's in New Hampshire, they do a lot of hunting or something. He had a collection of six hunting rifles and a 38 handgun, and he took out the handgun and he fired it once into the floor. And then he aimed it at the guy, and he said, "You better freeze." And the guy froze and waited for the cops, and the cops arrested the burglar, and then they also arrested him for shooting into the ground. They said it's a reckless something or other. So he was being reckless by shooting his gun in an unnecessary way, which was just as a show of force. So therefore, he was also under arrest, and I think they said he faces, if they decide to charge him and convict him, so he faces as much jail time as the Ganov would face. So I just thought it was interesting.
In law school, the guy in Iowa had a gun set up.
Oh, he had a booby trap.
A booby trap gun, and then somebody came in and robbed him, and the gun went off. And it's like the case was hinging upon whether the guy had a reasonable expectation, if it was reasonable force, if the Ganov should have realized that the guy might have that gun or not. But
right.
The case was the guy ended up going to jail.
Right. So this is similar to what we've been talking about. We talked last week that basically if you see the guy stealing from you, you have the right, according to everybody, you have the right to use actual force in order to get back what you properly own. You don't have the right to kill him, but you can hit him and in a way that actually causes major damage if you do so. So it's interesting, just to speak out the basic sforas that we had from 2 weeks ago in the sugya of Bab Machteres, we had the famous comment of the Gemara, Ein Adam Mamed Atzmo Amamono, that the person, the Baal HaBayis, will not stand by and watch himself get robbed. So Rashi explained that that means that a person will stand up for his money, and he'll try to stop the Ganav. He'll try to stop him. Doesn't say he'll try to hurt him, just he'll try to kick him out of the house. And when the Ganav sees this, what's he going to do in response? He's going to get violent. He's going to say, listen, I came here to rob the place. I didn't, you know, I spent time and planning and money and on equipment and everything. And I'm not here to get thrown out. I'm not leaving without what I came for. And therefore, he'll try to kill the Ganav he'll try to kill the Baal HaBayis in order to get what's his, or what he thinks that he deserves. And therefore, the Baal HaBayis is allowed to kill him first. That's the way Rashi wants to learn it. We saw the other view was the Ran, the Chedushia Ran and the Yad Ramah. They say that's not what's going on. And they have a very basic kasha. They said, how could it be that high of a percentage of Ganavim are coming to kill? Most Ganavim, if you stop them and you say, I see you, you better get out of here, I'm calling the cops, they'll run. They won't kill. So he says, it's impossible that it's impossible that that's the pshat that the Gemara was trying to say, that if you try to stop him, he'll kill you. It must be something else. It must be that if you try to stop, if he sees you stealing, the Baal HaBayis sees you stealing, not only will he try to stop you, he'll try to stop you by any means necessary and might even try to kill you. And the Ganav is a little bit afraid for his life now. And he thinks that this guy is going to kill him in order to stop him. And therefore, that's what makes the Ganav violent. Not the knowledge that he might be prevented from stealing. he'll come to be violent because he thinks the Baal HaBayis might try to kill him. And therefore, he's coming to kill, and the Baal HaBayis can kill him first because he's coming to be violent. Right, so then the obvious kasha becomes, wait a minute. So who is the Rodef and who is the Nirdef? Right? The Baal HaBayis is the one who introduced the violence into the equation here. So how can it be that the Baal HaBayis is considered the Nirdef when in fact he's trying to kill the Ganav and that's what makes the Ganav violent, and yet we still say the Baal HaBayis wins? So in this, we had a chiluk between the Ran and the Arama. The Ran says, well, he gives the old, he started, right? Well, nobody told you to come in and rob this guy. So even though, the Ran used such a lashon, he says, even though he's doing shelo kedin, the Baal HaBayis is absolutely wrong for trying to kill you. Baal HaBayis is absolutely wrong for trying to kick you out by killing you. He should just, you know, call the police or try to throw you out normally. He's 100% in the wrong. Still, no one told you to break into his house and have him be in the wrong. And therefore, you're considered the Rodef anyway, since you started the whole ball rolling. In the end of the day, we have two people trying to kill each other first, and whose fault is it? So it's your fault for breaking in. That's the way the Ran wants to explain it. So had you never broken in, none of this would have ever happened. And it all traces back to you. The Yad Ramah doesn't exactly spell it out like that. The Yad Ramah says that you have to remember something important. This whole cheshbon doesn't exist in real life. It's all in our heads. Meaning, we're never going to see a scenario where the Bav Machteres is tunneling in, he comes in, or nowadays they try to avoid the motion sensors, so they cut a hole in the ceiling and they rappel themselves into the house, right? So that's how you know these are real inside jobs. Once had a, I don't know if I told you the story, once had a guy working on my basement, and he was a very, you know, very nice guy. So he's a schmoozer, so he was talking to me about, apparently there had been a whole bunch of robberies somewhere in the five towns at the time. And he was telling me his line. He's a little, you know, he's a guy from the South. He's like, it's got to be an inside job. It's like, always an inside job. So I said, why do you think it's an inside job? He's like, you don't go breaking into no house unless you know what's inside. He's like, take this place. Ain't nobody going to rob this place. He goes, what are they going to do, steal a bunch of books? I was like, well, I appreciate that, but, you know. So. Right. Yeah, so they know, so they're very smart, so they figure out good cheshbonos, how to break in properly, and they know what they're looking for. So this Ganav, he's coming, that's so nowadays, right, even though the Gemara says, Gago, Chatzero, Karpifo, these are all valid options, not Lav Dafka, Machteres, but the bottom line is the Ganav went through some trouble to try to break in, and he's not willing to be stopped. So he comes down, he rappels through the hole in the ceiling, and he comes down. The Baal HaBayis says to him, hey, you better stop and get out of here. And then the Ganav says to him, you can't stop me, I'll kill you first. And then the Baal HaBayis says, you can't kill me, I'll kill you first. And he kills him. Like, that's not what happens. What happens in the case of Bav Machteres, if you would ever see a security video of it, it would look terrible for the Baal HaBayis. The Ganav is basically rummaging through the valuables or whatever, putting stuff in a bag. The Baal HaBayis sneaks up behind him, puts a gun in the back of his head and shoots him. That's what it looks like. Or he cuts his throat or something like that. It looks as if the Baal HaBayis is just, he's the murderer and the Ganav was the Baal HaBayis. That's how it would seem on a security tape. I mean, the whole cheshbon exists only in the potential, not in the actual. So the Yad Ramah says, this whole cheshbon that the Baal HaBayis will be violent and therefore try to kill the Ganav, and the Ganav is therefore coming to be violent against the Baal HaBayis, which gives the Baal HaBayis the right to kill him, the Ganav can never prove that it's the Baal HaBayis' fault. So he's saying that, what's the Ganav going to say? He's saying, well, it wasn't my fault. This guy was going to be violent against me, so I came when I broke in. I'm just a simple Ganav. I'm not a murderer, but I knew that this Baal HaBayis is crazy, and he'll try to kill me, so I had to come in and be violent myself. Really? Can you prove that this Baal HaBayis would have killed you and not let you steal from him? There's no way to ever prove that because the scenario never plays its way out. The scenario is simply Ganav breaks in, Balabais kills him. End of story. So the whole cheshbon never happens, and there's no real evidence that this Balabais was the violent kind who would have killed you to stop you from robbing him.
Or we just say it's a halakhic construct. If you come in, if somebody comes in, it's an undana, that the Balabais is within his rights halakhically to kill you.
But he's not in his rights. But that's the point. Meaning everyone agrees, if you knew that the Ganav would not kill you, all he would do was steal from you. So there's no case of Rodef here. There's a case of Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshei, that you have the right to try to make him not steal from you, and if he succeeds in stealing from you, you can even go over to his place and start smashing the place up until he gives you back your money. But you don't have the right to kill him, for sure.
Even if we say rogue gun of him are guys who are willing to...
No. So now the cheshbon begins. Are Ganovim killers? So the Yad Ramah and the Ran say, no, they're not killers. They're Ganovim. There's a difference. So why are we treating them like they're killers? Because they're afraid that you'll kill them. And you really start the cycle of violence, not them. So why isn't it your fault? So the Yad Ramah says, because you can never prove that they started the cycle of violence. It never comes to that. All that we see is the Ganav breaks in, Baal Bayis kills him. End of story. And that's okay, because the Ganav, what we said basically when we read the Gemara on Ayin Beis and Mebeis, the Gemara says, if it's not your own father breaking into your house, you have the right to assume that the Ganav will kill you. Right? The Gemara had the stira between the two brises. One says, if you know, if it's clear to you as day, last week's parasha, right? Mzorcha Shemesh Alav, Damim Lo. If it's clear to you as day that this guy will not kill you, then you may not kill him. But, and that's one Bryce. And the other Bryce said, if it's clear to you as day that he will kill you, you may kill him. So one, the default position is you may not kill him. And one, the default position is you may kill him. So the Gemara answered, no. The one where it says the default is you may kill him, that's when a son comes to steal from a father. Right, and that's when the son comes to steal from the father. So the son, the father has the right to assume the son might kill him, and therefore the father can defend himself. That whereas in the case where it says that unless you know for a fact that he's a killer, you can't kill him. That's when the father comes to steal from the son. The son can't kill the father unless the son knows the father will kill him. Right, those are the two cases that we had, and. Obviously, son stealing from the father is son and anyone else on earth. It's basically like the only guy in the world that you have to assume will not kill you if he's your Ganav is your father. And then Rav gives an example of somebody else whom he has a very close relationship with, similar to a father. So that's the example where you're not allowed to kill the guy no matter what, unless you can prove that he's definitely coming to kill you. Right, so if a father, meaning there are crazy fathers who would kill their sons. So if you have a reason to believe, a strong evidence that this guy is one of those fathers, so then the son is allowed to kill the father. But other than that, unless you can prove it, the son may not kill the father. And the simple reason, I don't remember, did we speak this out when we went through the cheshbon? The difference between givers and takers. A lot of people say this word, like when we say that by a bris mila, we say for the baby, we give the baby the name, and then we make a very astute observation. Zeh katan gadol yiyeh, right? So he's a katan, and he's very small right now, and the stomach he'll be bigger, right? That's quite quite the formulation, you know, that we figured out based on X amount of years of human history that they start off small and they get big, right? So it's not really much of an observation. So a lot of Mefarshim point out that what we're trying to say is Zeh HaKotan, the definition of a Kotan is a taker. Ketanim don't have anything to offer, right? They, like we said, you should have nachas from your children, right? How much nachas do you get at the end of the day? It's not, they're not, you know, they do what they can, but it's not going to pay back for what the parents give. The nachas is not the payback. It would be a very skewed system if the amount of nachas you got was supposed to be proportional to the amount that you put into it, right? So we say zeh katan. A katan, he's a taker. Katan, by definition, is everything given to him on a silver platter, and he doesn't do anything for himself. And the tinok, the rachanimol, is the ultimate taker. He literally can't do anything. Right? But we say gadol yiyeh. But the goal of all this katnus, the goal of being a taker at this age, is so eventually he can evolve into a giver. He can evolve into, and that's the ultimate valachta bedrachav. That's why, you know, it's, I don't know, it's the only reason why, but it's one of the major reasons why we're commanded to have children in the first place, is that we can appreciate, we can be more godlike by being a complete giver to someone else who really has very little to offer us in return. You know, and that's the idea, that we're bringing a taker into this world and hoping to turn him in, also into a giver, giving him a little bit of that godlike experience of becoming a giver. So the father is the ultimate giver and the son is the ultimate taker. So when the father comes to rob the son, it's true, the father is doing something horrible. Right? The Gemara says, when we talk about Rav said, anyone who robs me, I would kill him except Rabbi Chanina Bar Shila. So he says, why? Because he's such a tzaddik? He's not such a tzaddik, he's robbing the place. Right? So you see the chiddush that people who rob other people are not called tzaddikim. Right? So he says, if it's because he's such a tzaddik, so he's above machteris. He's above machteris. He's not such a big tzaddik. Rather, it says, "Kim li begavei demirachim alai kirachim aval aben." I have in mind. I know he'll have mercy on me like a father has mercy on a child. Meaning, even if the father's totally lost his way, or never, some none of them have children too. So the father's a ganav. So he ran out of people to steal from. So now he's stealing from his own son. But he's not going to kill his son. He has rachamim for his son because he's been giving to his son his whole life. To do the ultimate act of taking would be so out of character for what a father is to a son that we say, unless you can prove it, you cannot kill. The son, on the other hand, is a taker. He takes from his father. That's what sons do. So therefore, if the son comes to take the money, so it's not a large stretch to say that the son will also take the father's life, because obviously it's rare, but it's in character for a son. Now it's this skewed, messed up version of this character, but it's not completely out of character for the son to do the ultimate act of taking and take his father's life. It would be completely out of character for a father to take a son's life, because the father's a giver. I don't know, that's how a lot of people want to explain that yisod. But keeping this yisod in mind, you can ask a very, very strong kasha. I don't think we spoke out this kasha last time. And we can ask a very strong kasha against the sheet of the Ran and the Yad Ramah. Again, what's their cheshbon? The cheshbon is that the balabayas might be violent towards the ganav, and therefore the ganav in return comes to be violent. According to Rashi, the balabayas is not looking to kill the ganav. The ganav says, I want to steal. If you try to stop me, I'll kill you. And therefore the balabayas can kill him. According to the Ran and the Yad Ramah, that's not enough to consider the ganav violent. The ganav has to be activated into violence. So he says, what's the pshat? The balabayas might kill the ganav just because the ganav is trying to rob him. That's what it means, ain't other mamad atzmo mamono. It's wrong, but it could happen. The ganav might try to kill the balabayas, and therefore, the balabayas might try to kill the ganav. Therefore, the ganav comes with that fear and that desire to be violent in return. And therefore, the balabayas is allowed to kill the ganav because he thinks the ganav will be violent. Now, can we make that cheshbon according to the Gemara's case? Meaning we said, if the ganav is the father and the balabayas is the son, so we say then, the father will never kill the son, unless you can prove it. So therefore, the son is never allowed to, quote-unquote, defend himself by killing his father. But, the Gemara says, if the son comes to rob from the father, then the father is allowed to kill the son because the son might go so far as to kill his father in order to facilitate the burglary. So, if you go like the Ran, that cheshbon doesn't get started.
Because there's the same reason that the father wouldn't kill the son as the balabas, he wouldn't kill him as the gun.
Right, right. Meaning, the whole thing doesn't get started according to the Ran. The Ran thinks, wait a minute, why is the ganav violent? Because he thinks the balabayas might kill him to stop him from robbing. Really? A father would kill a son if the son came to rob him? So the whole thing never gets started. If you say, well, the son is robbing the house. He thinks, well, if my father sees me, he might try to kill me. So I better come ready to kill him first. And knowing this, the father can kill the son. But the son won't make that cheshbon because he knows his father won't kill him. So the cheshbon doesn't get started. So this I find this to be a bomb kasha against the Ran and the Yad Ramah. I mean, people answer the kasha, but it's one of those cases where the kasha is often better than the teretz. Meaning, see, people will say, well, there's a difference. The ganav is a planner. The balabayis is simply reacting to the plan. So the ganav is the son. He comes to rob from the father. Now he thinks, listen, if my father was robbing me, I would never kill him because my father knows what might happen and he's not going to kill me. Bottom line, my father's not going to kill me, so I'm not going to kill him.
Because I'll never be in the den of a rodent.
Because, right. Meaning my father won't kill me. If I stand up to him and say, Dad, you really hit rock bottom here, you better get out of here. So he'll just run. He'll feel embarrassed and he'll run. Right? But that's if my dad would come to rob from me. Let's say my dad wakes up and sees me robbing him. He'll get so mad that, and he won't have planned for the situation. He won't have cheshbened it out. He's going to be reacting to what I'm doing. So reaction times might not, you know, be as clear cut as if you're planning the geneva yourself. So if the father's the ganav and he's planning the geneva, he thinks to himself, listen, my son might stand up to me, and if that happens, I'm out of here. I didn't come here to kill my son. But if the father's the victim, and he wakes up, he sees the son there, he's like, are you kidding me? After everything I did for you, maybe he will try to kill the son. And then the son reacts by killing the father, and therefore follows through that the balabais, who's the father, can kill the son. That would be one way to defend the position of the Ran and the Yad Ramah. I still think in the end of the day, the kasha is better than the teretz. That it just, the whole premise flies in the face of the logic that we're going with. Question really is, why do they even want to learn this way? They say why. They say, like, we can't imagine the Gemara would say, Chazaka ein adam mamed atzmo amamono. And what does that mean? That means people don't like getting robbed. So that's a chazaka? Like, that's no, I don't, you know, like, before, it's a good thing we learned Gemara, so we know people don't like getting robbed. Like, we know this. This is not the chazaka that gets the ball rolling for Bob Machteres. So we explain, according to Rashi, how Rav Soloveitchik explained Rashi, it's more than just that people don't like getting robbed. It's that people have the right not to get robbed. And therefore, they have the right to stand up to the ganav. They have the right to stand up to the ganav, because you might have said, wait a minute, why not just hide in the closet and wait till the ganav, you know, takes what he wants, and that way no one will get killed. So who told you to turn this into a capital crime?
Trying to stop
by, yeah, so the answer is, yeah, but what kind of guy just is, look, I don't want to get robbed. So I'm going to have to kill this guy because of this whole convoluted cheshbon that is true, but because I don't want to get robbed, I'm going to kill this guy. That's the bottom line. You can just hide, walk out the back door, and nothing will happen. You'll get robbed, you'll call the insurance company, and they'll take care of it. Right, that's why isn't that the better of the options? And the answer is, that's the chazakah. The chazakah is the right that the Torah gives you to not get robbed. That's the way Rashi wants to learn it. But the Ran and the Yad Ramah are saying, no, that's not, Torah's not telling you people don't like to get robbed or people have the right to not get robbed. It's telling you that the balabais is really getting the ball rolling. He's the one who's causing the violence. And even though he's the one causing the violence, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's not considered to be the balabais' fault. It's considered to be the ganav's fault. Either, as we said, like the Ran, because the ganav started by breaking in, or according to the Yad Ramah, because you can't ever prove that the balabais would have been violent. Okay, all this is just refreshing our memory because it helps with the next part. Just one last thing. We heard a shiur from the Usher Weiss on Sunday morning. They had the chevra from Lev Shlomo went down to, I forgot the name of the people who he was staying by, but they went down to their house and Kanner, I think, went to the Kanner's house, and so Rav Asher Weiss spoke about a couple of minyanim related to pikuach nefesh. So he quoted a very harifistic akasha from Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin. So he said that Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin quoted, we're going to hopefully see the sugya later in the semester, that the machlokas rishonim, does a person have the right to give up his life for lesser crimes? Meaning we know that the Gemara tells us on Ayin Dalet that you really... Kol mitzvah shebetorah are yavor ve'al yeharig, except for gili arayah shvichas dam avodah zarah, which are yeharig v'al yavor. Right? So those are the big three, and then the Gemara says, not just the big three, but if it's a shas hashmad, where it would be a chil hashem to do it, or if it's befar hesya, so you have the right to give up, you have to give up your life for every avera in the Torah, even maybe something which isn't even an avera. The Gemara uses the example of arksa de mesana, right? Even Rashi has one take on it, the Arama has a different take on it, meaning, but something which is clearly not a regular mitzvah. It's less than a mitzvah, right? It's a Jewish thing, like it's a Jewish style. Let's say, right? It was literally the bootstraps were tied one way. So the machlokas rishonim, was there any act of tznius? Was there an Indian of tznius involved? Meaning like that the Jews would tie their bootstraps in such a way, which was more tsanua than the non-Jews. So then when the non-Jews are telling you to do that, they're actually telling you to violate a real Jewish theme. In other words, but if it wasn't something which was thematically Jewish, it was just a style that, like, I don't know, if you go, I wasn't sure about that. Somebody told me Italian people also like wearing white on white shirts. I said, outside of the borough of Brooklyn, I don't see anybody wearing a white on white shirt. But in Brooklyn, it's very chashuv. So I said, it's a Jewish style. So if the government would come out with a thing, you can't wear white-on-white shirts, so there's nothing inherently Jewish about that. It happens to be that they're clearly persecuting against the Jewish style, but still, you don't have to give up your life to give up the Jewish style. It has to be something which has what I think the Rashi says, something that has a tzad yahadus. It has to be something which is thematically Jewish, even if it's not one of the Taryag mitzvahs. What? Right. That already, that's it. You gotta give it all up. You gotta give it all up for that. So that being said, the you're not supposed to give up your life for anything but those circumstances. So then, machlokas rishonim, do you have the right to voluntarily give up your life? So let's say you're 100 years old and you've kept Shabbos for 100 years straight. So this guy puts a gun to your head and he says, you better work on Shabbos or you're dead. Like, I'm not interested. I've lived 100 years. I've been Michal Shabbos once. I'll take the bullet. Thank you very much. So are you doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Neutral. So some Rishonim say you're doing a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, b'toras eina mitzuva v'yosa. You have the right to volunteer to create a Kiddush Hashem rather than, you know, do the Avera. It wouldn't be a Chilul Hashem if you did the Avera, but it's a Kiddush Hashem if you give up your life even for Shabbos or for stealing or for kashrus or whatever it is. And the Rambam and others say, no, it's a chilul Hashem to do the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing. It says v'chai bohem. You're supposed to live by the Torah. V'lo she'yamos bohem. You're not supposed to die by the Torah. So who are you to choose to die for a lesser crime? You're supposed to live, right? And then elsewhere, the Gemara seems to support this when they talk about pikuach nefesh for chilul Shabbos. So they say, chalel Shabbos achas k'dei she'tishmor Shabbosos harbe. Right, so you should be mechal one Shabbos so that you could keep many other Shabbosos. To which, you know, all right, we'll hopefully speak that out at length. But so Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin asked the kasha within those who hold that you're allowed to give up your life for a lesser offense. They said, wait a minute, if you choose to give up your life not to be mechal Shabbos, and the guy kills you because he wants you to be mechal Shabbos, so Ritzicha is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. You're causing him to violate an Isser Ritzicha when you could have easily done it, right? And it is Lifnei Iver for the guy, right? We know that Goyim are Shayach to the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver as well. And you're violating an Isser by causing the guy to kill you. No, who told you that you should give up your life by making this guy into a murderer? The guy, before this, he was just a jerk. But now he's a murderer. Saying you made him kill you, essentially, by doing your chumrah, you decided to make him a killer. So that was his kasha. How are you allowed to do this? So, Yeah, so that's a good question. That's a good question. As Rav Asher Weiss actually mentioned that. So he quoted different cases where it wouldn't be B'Shev Al Tas, it would be B'Kum Vaseh also. So, all right, Lamaisa, so let's say it would be B'Kum Vaseh, even if you say. I think he has that exact, he has a couple of pieces. He has like two or three pieces in a row in the Minchas Asher about Lifnei Iver, and I think it's in Parshas Kedoshim. And he brings up that issue at length. So he just mentioned in passing, he gave a couple of other nafkaminas where it wouldn't be B'Shev Al Tas, it would be K'um Vaseh. But even so, I don't think, you know, and this is basically what he answered, but based on what we're seeing, this is not a kasha at all. Meaning, if you learn Rav Soloveitchik's Vort in Rashi, so wait a minute, we say, Ein Adam Mamed Atzma Mamono. So inevitably, your desire to not be robbed and your right to not be robbed turns this guy into a potential killer, and then he ends up dead. So your desire to not be robbed, why don't we just say the same kasha? You should be mechuyev to hide in the closet, let yourself get robbed, and then everybody leaves alive. Right? Why can't we just do that? So the answer is, you're not mechuyev to do that. You want to do it? Go right ahead. But you also want to stand up for your money? That's your right. You are permitted to live life normally, and to basically say the Torah recognizes that I have certain property rights, and I don't have to give up my property rights just because you feel like stealing from me. And therefore, I'm allowed to basically sacrifice your life so that you don't rob me. And it's the same thing. I'm allowed to make you into a murderer because I have a midas chasidus that I have the ability to be killed, not to be mechal Shabbos. You don't have the right to say, well, you can't let me kill you because that's not even necessary on your part. But Melo, when it's necessary and I ask you to be over the Buddha Zara or I'll kill you. So, okay, so you have to give up your life then. So you can't worry about the Lifnei Iver, right? Saying like, can't worry about that. You have to worry about not being Machal Shem Shemayim by worshiping a Avodah Zarah. So,
why do we assume that this is a cognitive act? I mean, when you're getting robbed, it's more of a reactionary thing, as opposed to the other one where you have a chance to think, do I want to be Machal Shabbos or not?
Well, what we're saying, we're assuming that, again, it's obviously, if you're reacting to the fear for your life, so then, you know, it's not your job to make this cheshbon. It's really our job as the onlooker to analyze what happened.
You're saying that maybe should I stay in the closet? Should I not stay? This is all reaction.
Maybe. I think, you know, the police will tell you if you're getting robbed, you should hide.
Right.
Or fake sleep or whatever. It's not shaykh to hide sometimes, so just pretend you're sleeping. Right?
They're telling you that for your own safety.
Right. But in other words, so there are metzius exists that, like, you can make whatever cheshbon you can make. I'm saying there are cases, meaning we just mentioned at the beginning there was a guy getting robbed and he was arrested. The guy who was being robbed was arrested because he took out a handgun and he shot it into the ground once and then he pointed it at the guy and held him till the cops came. So he was also arrested for shooting the gun into the ground, which is some type of endangerment. So the guy made a cheshbon. He had a gun on him. He knew how to use it. So he, you know, sometimes we do, like the guy, we do a lot of times, especially nowadays, they have bigger houses. You can hear somebody breaking in or you can hear somebody rumbling around downstairs, right? And you can think, what am I going to do? Am I going to, you know, lock the door, get the baseball bat, whatever, like, you know, whatever it is. So there are cases where you can make the cheshbon, but even so, it's our job as people who analyze the situation to cheshbon what really went on here. And like we said, no one can prove what went on here because when you look at it from the outside perspective, all you see is Baal HaBayis murdering a guy. So you don't. But so if we're not looking and saying, "Oh, okay," so but he has a right to do it because of the following cheshbon, so that makes sense. Okay. So that being said, let's discuss a little bit and probably end up finishing it next week. The difference. Are there any differences between a Baba Machteris and a classic example of a Rodef? Classic example of a Rodef: guy takes out a gun, starts chasing somebody else down the block with the gun, saying, "I'll kill you, I'll kill you, I'll kill you." And the guy being chased, you now have a chiyuv to save his life by killing the Rodef. So is that the same by Bab Machteris, or is it a little bit different? And who cares? Right? What would be the difference if Rodef is the same or different? So in order to understand this, let's take a look at a couple of different Rambams. Hilchas Geneva Perek Tes. I went a little out of order here. There's no official order, but just look, turn it twice. You see Hilchos Geneva Perek Tes. So let's just read Zion and Tes. We'll skip Ches. It says, Abba b'machteres b'im b'yom b'im b'layla, ein lo damim. Person comes, whether it's day or night, yet he has no blood. Ela im hargo balabayas o shar ha'adam p'turin. If the balabayas or anyone else chooses to kill him, they are potter. V'rishus yesh lakol lahorgo b'im b'chol b'im b'shabes b'chol misa sheyecholin lahamiso. Shenemar ein lo damim. So he says it's permitted to kill him both during the week and on Shabbos. And the reason the Rambam says also on Shabbos, the Gemara has a Havamina, which we'll see a different time. The Gemara has a Havamina that you might not be allowed to kill him on Shabbos, because just like Beis Din doesn't execute people on Shabbos, maybe you're not allowed to kill him on Shabbos either. Kamash Malan, you are. So we'll have to figure out what was that Havamina. Like, this is Beis Din executing the guy. And then furthermore, he says, any Misa which you can use... You can use any misa which you want, as it says, ain lo dam, right? So that's also la fuke. There's a chedushi aran which says you should try your best to kill him with a sword if possible, right? It says, why are you killing him with a sword? So he says, because he's being killed as a murderer, as a rodef. So the rodef gets saif. He gets killed by the sword. So if you can kill a rodef with a sword, so then you should do it. Rambam says, no, there's no such din as killing a bav machteres with a sword. If you have a gun, use the gun. If you have a knife, whatever it is, do what you have to do. That's halacha zayin. And then skipping to halacha tes, u'mipnei mahi tira Torah domo shel ganav, aval bishe baal iske momen, l'fishe chezkaso, shim amad baal abayis befanav umano, yahargenu, v'nimtza zeh nichnas labayis chavera lignov, kirodef achar chavera lehorgo. And it turns out that this guy is like a rodef.
Well, for the Rambam, you can basically tie the guy up and execute him.
No, once you tie him up...
Because
he's not a...
He says, once the... Ben Bayom Ve'im Lo Damim, meaning halacha, you are Roshoi to kill the guy. And the Chiddush of Ben B'chol Ben Shabbos is, it doesn't matter, because you're right, because if it was the klal of Havala Hargacha, there would be no question that on Shabbos you could do it, because your life is in danger. So it sounds like the Rambam is saying this is
all. Yeah, but you can't. I mean, once he's neutralized, you certainly can't kill him.
But it's saying that the threat doesn't have to be as imminent as we thought till now, as the Gemara thinks, because the Rambam seems to be saying it's halacha.
No, but what he's saying is, but look what the Rambam says. He says, "The fishechez kaso sheim amad bal habayis befanav umano." If the guy would stand up and prevent him from robbing him, yahargenu.
But that's just the point.
Then the ganav would kill him.
You don't have to look at the individual situation. You don't have to really be in the situation of habala hargacha hashkem.
Correct. Exactly. No, that's a very important point.
You can be sitting there on the rocking chair with your shotgun waiting for somebody to come in.
Right.
Say, I can blow you away because the Rambam says there's a chazaka that you would kill me if I didn't kill you.
Right, no, but that's exactly the point. Meaning he says that he's like a rodef right away. So that a lot of people want to be medayik in this lashon. He says, Nimtza zeha nichnas labayis chavero, Lignov ki rodef achavero lehorgo. He's like a rodef. So some want to say, is he a rodef? Is he not a rodef? Well, he's ki rodef. He's some kind of a rodef. So that's a diuk that a lot of people make in this Rambam. I'll try to demonstrate along the lines of what you're saying. I don't think that's any kind of a diuk. I don't think that's necessary to make that diuk, but we'll see. Let's look back now in Hilchos Rotzeach. So we have halacha vav and halacha tes vav. I wanted to see. This is us. We're picking it up in the middle, but basically we're talking about the way you're supposed to kill the guy. It says, "Bamedvar mamurim b'she'avar va'asa ha'avon shechayv lo'av mises beizdin." This is when the guy did an avera where he's chayv mises beizdin. Aval harodev achachavera lahorgo afilu haya harodev katan hare kol yitzrael mitzuvin lahatzel anirdof miyad harodev vafilu b'nafsho shel harodev. Every Jew who sees the situation, even if it's just a kid, right? A kid can kill someone with a gun just as much as an adult can kill someone with a gun. If somebody sees a minor running down the block with a gun trying to kill an adult, every Jew who's able to prevent this from happening is mechuyev to do so. Va'afilu b'nafsho shel rodef, even with, if it goes to the extent of killing the actual rodef. Then this is the first thing when it comes to understanding the Rambam. Just going a little further in Halacha Tezvav, it's on the next page. Haroe rodef acher chavira lehorgo, o acher erva lebola, v'yochol lahatzil, v'lo hitzil. Let's say you see someone trying to kill somebody or trying to commit gilui arayos. So he says, and you're able to save them and you don't do it. Hare zeh bita mitzvah saseh, shehi uktzosa eskapa, v'ovar al shnei lavin. He violated two averos, lo sochos einecha, v'alo samar al dam reyacha. So you violate two different times where the Torah basically says, don't see this type of dire situation and turn a blind eye. Right? So we're saying, don't, you violated an isser of having pity on the rodef. You're not supposed to pity the rodef, you're supposed to pity the nirdaf. And stop the rodef. And number two, you're also not supposed to stand by and watch your friend get killed. So this is so those are two isurim d'oraisa that you violated by not killing the rodef. That's how the Rambam says it out. So basically, what we see from the Rambam is that you have the concept of there's a mitzvah to kill the rodef. There's a mitzvah to kill the rodef. And not only that, but there's an isser to not stop the rodef, to not kill the rodef. And in the case of Baba Machteres, the lashon is not exactly the same. Rather, it says that if somebody comes, and if you look back now in Hilchos Keneva, Habab Machteres bein biyom bein melayla ein lo damim ela im hargo balabayis o shar ha'adam turin. If the balabayis kills him or somebody else kills him, then he's potter. Urushus yesh l'chol l'horgo bein b'chol bein b'shabes b'chol misa she'ete yicholin l'hamiso shenemar ein l'dam.
Why does someone else have the right to kill him? The whole what? Thing is based on Chazaka the balabayis is going to defend him.
Right.
So what gives someone else the right to kill the ganav? He's just a ganav.
Right. So
meaning.
Well, if you make the cheshbon, the basically the Baal HaBayis might stand up for himself, and who says he's going to win? Right. Meaning, if you're the third party,
so at that point, then the third party could step in. What gives the third party the right to step in when something's even headed? Baal HaBayis is bed sleeping.
Right.
Right. Some guy's breaking in the house, so you see that.
Right. So the answer is you have the right to do it because you see the possibility of this situation unfolding.
Do you have the right in Habala Hargucha in a regular case if you know that somebody is going after somebody that you know is driving, getting in his car and driving over to kill him? Can you get in your car and shoot him and kill him?
If he's not yet a rodef, like if you
no,
can't...
but if you know he's a rodef, he's on his way to he has his.
Right. I don't know exactly at what moment the guy becomes a rodef, but like, for example, there's a Gemara in the end of Maseches Brachos where a guy was, he was going to turn somebody over to the government, and so the Tana would have been killed, saying he was going to turn him over to the government and say that he said something bad about non-Jews, and he says, okay, you're going to tell on me to the government. So you're a rodef, and he killed him, because he says if you would go and tell on me, I would for sure be killed. So you're setting the ball in motion to basically get me killed. You're
a call, meaning it's somebody who's coming to kill you. You have the right to then kill.
Right.
Him.
So what I'm saying is you see
here, I don't have the right. If I know that somebody is coming after you with a knife, I can't go and shoot him before he gets to you.
Well, so the question really is, exactly at what point does it become a rodef? If it seems from that Gemara, as long as his intentions are clear, it doesn't say exactly how far away from the, from the audience he was. Right, so it sounds like from that Gemara, when his intentions are very clear, that he's content to get a din of a rodef. Yeah, I mean, there's no difference between the person that he's going to be malshin against is going to kill him versus somebody else.
Meaning it's your
no, that's the standard case in the Bab Machteres situation. But in reality, any person is allowed to do it. We say, we darshan, says in the Pasuk, v'huka v'mes, right? And he is hit, not that he hits him. So the Gemara darshins v'huka b'chol adam v'meis b'chol mitzvah chatayachol lahamiso, right? So any person can kill the bav machteres because as v'huka v'meis ain lo damim, that if he gets hit, so what's the pshat there? Meaning you might have thought that only the guy who's immediately in danger can do it. Kamash malan, anybody can do it. But certainly by a regular case of a rodef, it's pashit why you're allowed to do it. Meaning what's the meaning? Sometimes the rodef, the nirdef can't defend himself and you have to do it. And sometimes even if he can defend himself, who says he has to defend himself? You can defend him. Saying it's not nothing wrong with you saving somebody else's life versus him saving his own life. You know, so... So the chiddush here in Bav Machteres is just that you even have the right to do it before anything escalates to that extent. So really, I think it's pretty clear from the Rambam. Although one of the major nafkaminas is that the Rambam says it's a reshus l'chol adam, meaning it's a reshus for you to kill the Bav Machteres, as opposed to by the rodef proper, we said that it's a mitzvah, and if you don't do it, you violated two isurim. So here it doesn't say, if you see a guy breaking into somebody else's house, you must kill him, and if you don't, then you violated two isurim daraisa. It doesn't say that. And furthermore, it's interesting, the Rambam never records, a lot of Achronim point this out, the Rambam never records, we didn't see it here, one second. I don't remember where the... Oh, so look in Halacha Yud Gimel of the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Shmiras Ritzeach, Shmiras Nefesh. It's at the very bottom of the first page and then going on to the second page. We don't... Kol hayachol lahatzil be'ever me'evarav v'lo torach bekach. Let's say you have a sniper rifle and you can easily shoot the guy's hand and have him drop the gun. Let's say, I don't know enough to know whether or not that's a viable option, you know, for getting guys to drop guns and not kill people. But let's say for you it's a very viable option. And you could have easily stopped him by shooting his hand. V'lo tarach pekach. But you said, I only shoot that way on game day. I don't shoot that way on practice days. I aim for the head. You know, I don't mess around. Not because you couldn't have made the shot, but because you chose not to make the shot. It would have been a little more difficult for you. Ela hitzel benasho shel rodef. Rather, you saved him, going on to the next page now, you saved him by killing the rodef instead, vahargo, and you killed him. Hareze shofech damim v'chayev misa. You are a murderer and you're chayev misa. Aval ein beizdin mamisen also. But beizdin can't kill you. All right, for whatever reason. So if you, this is the Gemara says this straight out, that if you were yochel ha-hatzel be'echer me'evarav and you chose not to, you're really chayev misa for doing that. You killed a man when it was totally unnecessary. So we don't find this din either by Bav Machteres. So that's why some want to say, you see there are a few chilukim in halacha between Bav Machteres and Rodef, and they're really two separate dinim. Furthermore, if you look in the Gemara learns them seemingly from two separate psukim. The Gemara, let's skip to the middle of the Amid on Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. So we're basically trying to figure out how we learn that you're allowed to kill a rodef. So we have a hekish in the pasuk. The pasuk says a really weird thing. If you pick it up, I guess it's about a third of the way down. First word on the line, there's a couple of bases over there. He says, Ki kasher yakum ish al re'eu ritzacho nefesh, etc. So he says basically there's a weird pasuk. It talks about a woman who is ne'ensa. She gets raped. And the pasuk says, Ulinara lo sasa davar, ein lenara chet maves. So you don't do anything to the girl, she's not chayv misa. And the pasuk explains further. They say, ki kasher yakum ish areyeh uretzacho nefesh, kein adavar hazeh. Just like when a person gets up and kills his friend, you know, quote unquote, we don't blame the victim, so too here, we don't blame the victim. Like, oh, thank you, that clarified everything. I would have thought, without the mushel of murder, I would have not have understood that you don't blame the victim. But now that you brought in that mushal, I understand it very well. It's not true. It's not adding anything. So the pasuk says, so the pasuk is seemingly adding an entire clause which doesn't really teach me anything. So the Gemara asks, v'chimalo manu mirotzeach me'ata. What do we learn from injecting rotzeach into this spot? Because it teaches us a connection that we can use back and forth. Makish rotzeach le'nara maras. So I'm not nara maras, I'm nitin la'atzila b'nafsha. Af rotzeach nitin la'atzila b'nafsha. Just like if a man is going to be ma'anes nara marasa, you're allowed to kill him in order to stop him from victimizing her. So too, if somebody's going to kill his friend, you can kill the murderer before he victimizes his friend. And so then we ask the question, wait a minute, v'nara marasa gufa minolin, where do we learn that you're allowed to kill the ma'anis of v'nara marasa? Ki detana debei Rav Yishmael, detana debei Rav Yishmael, v'ein moshiela. It says, right around there, it says if she screams, there was nobody there to help her, that's why she was victimized, because no one was able to save her. So we darshan from that. Ha'yesh moshiela, so he says, if there is someone who can save her, then you have to do whatever it takes to save her. You can even kill the guy in order to stop him from victimizing her. So therefore, we learn out that you're allowed to kill a rodef from, the hekish with Nara Marasa. And Nara Marasa, we learn from the words Ve'ein Moshiela. So with all that, we say, well, why don't I just learn out the case of rodef from Bob Machteris? Meaning, they're obviously not the same halacha. If Bob Machteris is this whole thing from Ein Lo Damim, and here I learn out Rodef from, the case of Ein Moshiela, so why do I need two separate psukim? So Tosus asked this kasha, and it's the little Tosus there, Af Rotzeach Nitin Latzila Benafsho. So Tosa says, V'im Tomar, so you'll ask, Mivuhuka b'chol adam nafka, why don't we learn out from the case of Bab Machteris, Kidarshin and La'el, V'yishlomar dahasam rishus, v'ashminan kra de'ein lo damim, aval haka kamashmulan d'chol v'lahatzil. There, it's just saying, if you did it, ein lo damim. If you killed the guy, so, and this is what we just saw in the Rambam. The Rambam is saying it because of this Gemara, like Tosas is pointing out, that Bab Machteris is only a rishus, and Rodef is a chiv. You violate two Isurim Doraisa if you don't save her. But Bab Machteris, you don't have to kill the guy if you don't want to. So that's why many want to say that they're really two separate dinim. They're obviously similar in nature, but in Lumdus, they're not the same. So, and that's why they say the Rabbim used the Lashon Kirodef, but he's not an actual Rodef. So Lanias Daiti, I don't think you have to come on to this at all. I think you could say that they're actually the exact same din. But Bab Machteris is a Chiddush Al Gabe, the din of Rodef. Because what? Look at all the cases that are different. Number one, Rishus versus Chova. So we already said ourselves why one is a Rishus and one's a Chova. Meaning, you can easily avoid any death when someone comes to rob you. You can just let yourself get robbed. You don't want to, then you don't have to. But you have that option. When it comes to a Rodef, you don't have that option. He's the Rodef. He injected himself into this situation and made himself a threat to kill. And therefore, you have to stop him by killing him. You don't have the right. You can't say, well, I'll be noble. I'll give up my own life. And I don't know. That's not nobility. That's the wrong thing to do. And furthermore, you're the onlooker. You're the bystander. You don't have the right to say, you know, the Rodef, he's usually a pretty good guy. He's having a bad day. You don't have the right to do that. He's Chayav Misa for what he's trying to do, and you have to kill him. So the Rambam says, but in the case of Machteris, it's a Rishus. It's not a Chiyuv on the other individual who's looking in there to try to kill him. He has the right to do so if he so chooses. He's allowed to kill the Bab Machteris, but he doesn't have to. So why is that? Because like you said before, you're an onlooker. You're looking in on the situation and you're saying, I don't know, it looks like a ganav. Is this really going to lead to nefashos? See, the Balabais is sleeping in his bed. So I don't have to be a killing good Samaritan and say like, oh, I'll stop this Bab Machteris by killing him before he can wake up the Balabais and then threaten to kill the Balabais and then he needs to be saved. He's like what we call the Chiddush of Bab Machteris is that it's like a pre-Rodef. meaning all the dinim of Rodef apply, but there's none of the clarity of Rodef. There's no clarity there because Rodef, you know exactly what's going on. But Machteris, it's all possibilities. Nothing ever plays out. It's like we said in the Yad Ramah. Like, the Yad Ramah says, well, it's not, the Ganav could claim, it's not my fault. The Baal HaBayis is the one who injected violence into the situation. To which we would respond, you can't prove that. Because none of that ever actually played out. That's all a cheshbon that we made. Yeah.
It's almost like the Torah is going, the psychology, almost like Aishas Yifas Torah, right? You know, God understands how human beings are going to react in a certain situation. So in this situation, you know, there's an allowance.
Right.
It's an allowance.
Exactly.
But not, right, not that exactly
right.
going to happen.
Right. It's an allowance, and that if you kill him, ain lo damim. And that's why the Torah spells it out. It's all in the passive voice. If he gets killed and he ends up dead because of it, we don't exact any retribution on anybody who killed him. Do you have to kill him? Feel free to just get robbed. As a bystander, if you don't think that the guy will kill, so he's not yet a Rodef. You don't know his intentions. In the case you spoke about before, you knew his intentions. He's a Rodef. You must kill him to save the Nirdef. Right? In the case over here, also, by the way, people point out, how come the Rambam doesn't bring up Yachol Lahatzel Be'echad Me'evarav? And the simple answer, I think, is not because there's no din Yachol Lahatzel Be'echad Me'evarav, because the whole case is such a wild card. You don't know anything. This guy could be a special forces, Navy SEAL, super soldier, and you don't know, you just see him rummaging around. So you're gonna shoot at his arm? You might be signing your own death warrant there. In the case of the Rodef, things are clear. In the case of Bob Machteris, he's more like a pre-Rodef, but that doesn't mean it's a totally unrelated din. It's the Chiddush of Bob Machteris is that it expands the din of Rodef to include cases which aren't 100% clear. I don't know, I'll try to explain it a little bit better, Mirtz Hashem, next time, but unfortunately we're out of time.